Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. The evidence is conclusive that exercise not only helps prevent a range of conditions from cardiovascular disease through to diabetes, but that it can also be an effective treatment as well. So why don't doctors prescribe it to their patients more? Dr. Anita Green, a GP and senior lecturer at the School of Human Movement and Nutrition Studies at the University of Queensland, and her co-authors, Dr. Craig Engstrom and Dr. Peter Friss, have written a perspective in the MJA attempting to answer that very question. Dr. Green, who is also the Chief Medical Officer of the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, is my special guest on the pod today. You and a couple of your colleagues, Craig Engstrom and Peter Friess, have written a perspective for the MJA, and it's about the evidence practice gap between the evidence that physical activity is really good for us and the fact that doctors are not that great at prescribing it. Can you tell us a little bit about that evidence, if you can, just in general, about why physical activity is so good for us and what it's particularly good for?
So you're absolutely right. We think about sports medicine as being about looking after elite athletes and looking at performance and injuries. But in actual fact, for me, equally important is the exercise medicine as well. And there's been, over the last 20 years, gradually, and then perhaps even more lately, even more accelerating, amounts of evidence coming out about the benefits of exercise, both as a prevention, mm-hmm. so that's about making sure that everyone meets the minimum physical activity guidelines and yep. does more than that, hopefully, if at all possible, but also for specific conditions, many of the chronic conditions that we see, many of the most common conditions that we see, that exercise specifically is a medicine for yes. that condition, so that it can actually alter the outcome. And in general, it's a very safe thing to do. It's often safer than some of the medications that mm-hmm. we are familiar with using, and we're relatively comfortable often with using. But all medications, theoretically can have side effects. And so if you can use a conservative treatment like exercise rather than therapeutic intervention like a medication or a surgery, mm-hmm. Then it's fantastic to have something like that which can be prescribed. The evidence just continues to accumulate that exercise is great for prevention of many of the commonest conditions in our community and also the treatment specifically of many of those conditions. And in some cases, the evidence for exercise is at least as good as some of the medications that we reach for a script pad and prescribe every day. And yet exercise may well be at least as effective as that, and it'll be nice for us to put that into place first. Yeah. Trial that, just like we do for smoking cessation and we do for dietary changes. The evidence would suggest that most medical practitioners don't prescribe exercise anywhere near as much as they prescribe other lifestyle interventions.
Why do you think they're not?
I think that, smoking's been the real poster child, I guess, mm-hmm. for lifestyle intervention. We know that it was extraordinarily high rates of smoking, that up to sort of 65-70% of the male population had been smokers.
Yep.
And we now know that that level is well under 20% for the general population. There are pockets of still high smoking, but in the general population, it's well under that and gradually continued to fall. And so that has been the area where we've succeeded extremely well, both as a profession, I think, but also with all of the other broader interventions which have changed smoking behaviour. So you have to change the culture around it. You have to change the acceptability around it. You have mm-hmm. to change the cost and all of those things.
Yep.
And it's a little bit more of, a circumscribed thing. We're winning the battle with that. But exercise is a little bit more nuanced, I guess, in that there's a message about being physically active, but then there's the motivation behind that. And so whilst a lot of doctors are absolutely aware of the minimum physical activity guidelines, they're not as confident about being and assisting their patients in changing their behaviours, because I think it's sometimes a more nuanced message, a little bit like nutrition, I guess, sometimes where
yes.
it's a little bit more nuanced. and that becomes more complex, and it's harder to do in briefer consultations. But it's not impossible to do, and we need to continue to be educating undergraduates and postgraduates so that they feel confident, they feel comfortable about doing this. And that's not just about the evidence and advising patients, it's actually about going through those motivational interviewing techniques in order to assist your patients on that journey towards becoming physically active.
Do you think we're just not giving med students and junior doctors enough training about exercise and how to approach a patient with the suggestion of exercise?
Look, there is evidence when they have surveyed and done interventions with medical students to show that medical students feel less confident about prescribing exercise or encouraging patients to exercise than they do about some of the other lifestyle interventions like smoking cessation, like weight reduction. Mm-hmm. That's been shown in a number of countries. And we know that also they identify that they get less training in that area and less training perhaps in the area of musculoskeletal medicine as well.
Right.
And so, and that's, I think, part of that is that we have a crowded curriculum. There's so much that we want doctors to learn. And obviously when we all work in our areas, we always want that area to be front and centre. And we very rarely seem to take anything out of the curriculum. So it is hard to do that.
Yes.
So I understand that. So we know that the areas of medicine which are, I guess, firmly embedded in the medical schools tend to continue and that it's difficult to get new areas in because we're always asking students to do more and more. So it is important about being clever around that, and it's not the fact that people aren't aware of it. I think it's just difficult to get that into the curriculum. We certainly know that students do identify when in the studies that have been done, they do feel less confident about prescribing exercise. They do feel less confident about some of the details around that, about educating their patients, but also particularly around how do you actually encourage someone to become physically active. And we know that a lot of the medical students themselves don't meet the activity guidelines as well. We know that the best advocates for exercise are people who are convinced that exercise is important to their own lives. And
yes.
So we certainly know that medical students who are regular exercisers and have always been regular exercisers or have enjoyed sport themselves, and doctors who are regular exercisers or have been involved in sport themselves value that exercise, get generally enjoyment, otherwise they wouldn't continue to do it.
Yes.
And they are much better advocates for exercise with their patients. We also know that there are doctors who don't feel that way about exercise. And for them, it's more difficult to be an advocate for that. It's not something that's perhaps front and centre of their thinking when they're seeing patients.
Yeah.
And we certainly know in the studies that have been done that has consistently been shown for a long time that the more active your clinician is, the more likely they are to think about exercise, asking you about exercise, explaining about exercise, and assisting you to become more active as a patient. Whereas if your doctor's sedentary, they are less likely to ask about that, and they're less likely to prescribe exercise as one of the interventions. But we also know that when we're not, according to the students anyway, when we surveyed them and when we've had published data coming out from a number of countries, a number of Western countries that I'm aware of, including Australia, that students don't feel as well equipped to assess exercise, to prescribe exercise generally for physical activity, and also to specifically prescribe exercise for certain conditions.
Right.
So although we have all the evidence accumulating around that, and we have some very specific guidelines, particularly in places like the RSGB website, where we've got the evidence-based guidelines there for non-drug interventions, which are fantastic. Although we know that's there, we also know that people find it difficult, obviously, sometimes just to keep up with all the evidence, and also to incorporate that in the time in their consultations. And there's some of the major barriers.
Tell us a bit about the 2016 Canadian position statement and its relevance here.
It's a position statement which came out in 2016. It's come out of the Canadian College of Sports and Exercise Medicine, and it has been adopted by our College of Sports and Exercise Medicine, so that's the College for our Sports and Exercise Physician colleagues, and also for general practitioners who have particular interest in sports medicine. Those two groups have endorsed those guidelines, and they're very well-written guidelines with in mind, not just about producing another guideline and telling doctors what to do, because we know that doesn't work.
Yes.
It's around, you know, how do you actually, let's show people the evidence, and it's a wonderful summary at the time of the current evidence for the benefits of exercise, both generally for prevention, but also for specifically for certain conditions as well. Right. So it's a very positive, uplifting document showing what, you know, if we just could get a much larger percentage of the population active, the benefits that would accrue for the prevention and management of a large number of the common chronic diseases. It cool. also then looks at, you know, what are the barriers to practitioners prescribing exercise, and it talks about, you know, simply making sure that we consider exercise or the lack of exercise as an important measure to include in every consultation.
Yes.
So just like we always need to ask if someone is a current smoker or to measure someone's blood pressure or to take their check their weight,
yep.
this is about a sentinel measure of how much physical activity do they do in a week, how many minutes per week they engage in activity which is at least moderate intensity. So in assessing that, if someone's physically very active, then that's all you need to do and congratulate them and move on to other areas of the consultation. But if someone is not achieving that minimum of 150 minutes of at least moderate intensity activity per week, then that's a risk factor for their health that you need to address. At that time, if it's the right time, if they're presenting just like any other lifestyle intervention, if they're presenting with other conditions which are crucial to be managed at that time in the consultation, then you park it and you say, but let's come back to that.
Yeah.
And it may well be the very first time that that patient's actually been asked about their physical activity level.
Yeah.
And you then, you know, negotiate another consultation. Some people will come back, not everyone will, but
yes.
sometimes people come back, as we know, with smoking. They don't come back straight away.
Yeah.
But in a year or two's time, they come back and they say, Doc, you know, back in, you know, 2016, you asked me about my smoking and I wasn't ready to talk about it then and I didn't want to, but now I'm coming back because you're the last person that asked me about that, and now I'd like you to help me
yeah.
address this. And
yeah.
again, it doesn't mean you're going to have them change their behaviour at that consultation either, but it's that process of moving them gradually on that continuum from being contemplating about it, being a pre-contemplator, and contemplating about it,
yep.
and then moving on to action with hopefully intervening in their life and you being a partner in that intervention. Same thing with physical inactivity.
Yep.
If someone is very inactive and you're the person who actually does ask them about it, and then you're the person they're most likely to come back to at some stage in the future, and they'll then ask you for assistance with their intervention so that you can assist them to become physically more active in their daily life.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts, or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.